Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, movie fans, we are the Real Nerds Podcast. We are the best movie podcast on the internet. I am Ryan. Joining me is Brad.
What up, 303?
Every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week, we held on tightly for Twisters. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not. Play the trailer, then spoil the film. We also talk about movie news, which I'm actually going to cheat this week, and films we watch throughout the week. I'm going to spend some time with movie news first, Brad, because your favorite place to see movies has closed this week. And not only did it close, but you were quoted twice on Channel 7 for it.
Twice? So special. Did it ever air? I was filmed. I don't know if that happened.
I don't, you know, I just read the article online. I don't remember seeing the video part.
Yeah, they probably took the footage back to the office and were like, we're not putting that guy on the air. Just write the article. Just make
He's really articulate, but on camera,
he rambled a lot. We can't cut this down at all. I was there for like, I don't know, like half an hour just saying stuff. They're asking me like long questions, and then I had this part where I like pointed to all like the chalk art on the ground and explained like where they came from and what they meant and stuff like that. And yeah, they took two lines from me, but so the Esquire closed this week, and it's tragic. I was there for the final screening. I did both A Quiet Place again and Maxine again there. I did an afternoon and an evening showing to cover both movies throughout the day. And a lot of people showed up for the later screenings, the 7 o'clock. And it was sad, and but it was a pretty good turnout. And that's the end of that.
Well, I thought you were going to be a little more eloquent with it.
Yeah, can you see why they cut my interview?
Yeah, I can now.
What am I supposed to say? Help me out here.
Well,
what I miss?
You can say that the Esquire has been a place where people have seen movies in Denver for nearly 100 years. Not only that, but it was well known for having the Rocky Horror Picture Show there, and The Room, which was once a month. You know, it was a place where I saw the Evil Dead trilogy once a week, every night at midnight. I think it was a Saturday night. It felt like a movie community when you went there and saw a movie. You know, you're getting away from the bright lights of Regal or AMC. So there's something about that theater that will never be replicated because it was such a unique theater. And yeah, it's a part of Denver that is now going to just be fucking condos. So,
yeah, well, retail and restaurants and offices, but might as well be. Yeah, condos. They also had the best popcorn in Denver. Best popcorn I've ever had. And now that can't be recreated. So, although I do have the ingredients,
so weird,
I'm going to try.
Because it had this nice like movie popcorny flavor. You know what I mean? I can't even describe it.
Yeah, like it was like buttery without like pouring butter on it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just had to be there.
Yeah, you just had to be there. And yeah, it's like going there always felt like I was experiencing movies like people did in the 70s and 80s and like a little bit of the 90s, you know, like that retro throwback feel that the modern theaters just feel so, I don't know, mainstream, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, they're all stadium seating now, and that's the more traditional slope theater.
Yeah, and like
just don't have anymore.
And like I never really appreciated like how big the screen there actually was, like the main one, not the upstairs one, but like the last few times I was there, like, you know, this is actually like a really huge screen, like compared to some of the Regals I go to, you know. So yeah, I've been mourning that and also helping the Esquire people kind of unpack their stuff and move it out. So I got to see the poster stash, and it is incredible.
What are they doing with all of them?
Well, obviously the people who work there are claiming all the awesome ones for themselves, as they should. They earned it. But there's like 30 years of like obscure foreign film poster that you probably never heard of. And what we're going to do is in the coming months, I have collected all of them. I now possess them. And we're going to go through, in addition to like, just not just posters, just like all kinds of like film promotional materials, like koozies and keychains and hats and stuff, that we're going to put together a website that's going to be like the Esquire archive. And we're going to upload like photos and history and all that. And then also have like a Shopify store or something where you can, you know, donate money to some art cause that we're going to figure out. And then, you know, in return, you can claim some of these old posters for yourself.
So, oh, look at you being all entrepreneur and stuff.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I think I can do it.
Idea.
Yeah. I bought some domains, Esquire Denver, which, how is that available? And Esquire Archive. And yeah, once we decompress from all this insanity, and obviously the workers there who are going to help me with this, you know, want some time away from this whole situation. Sure. We'll get back into it and we'll sort the stuff. You know, there's a lot of really cool, like there's a whole stack of like Dark Knight mini posters and Black Dynamite posters. Like they're really cool. There's some cool film reels, like the Landmark Theaters, like, you know, intro logo before the films that are like on film reels. So we got some of those types of things. Yeah, mostly posters though. And like,
what cool poster would I be interested in, Brad, that would actually make me want to donate?
I have some Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse posters for you, sir.
Oh, there you go.
I have some Guardians of the Galaxy posters if you'd like them for Volume 3.
Sweet.
Yeah, so there are some mainstream, like there's a ton of Nightwatch and Daywatch posters, like an insane amount.
What about like Jason X or something?
Yeah, cool stuff like that definitely went home with the employees, so. But yeah, like modern stuff or like, yeah, art house stuff from the 90s. Like the oldest stuff. There's very few like old 70s, 80s posters. And they're like for things I've never heard of, you know? But like all the cool Midnight stuff that like, obviously we value, those went to employees. So, yeah. Think more like past 4 years. Like major stuff, and then, you know, 90s, 2000s art house stuff. That's pretty much the collection we have. And then the mini posters, you know, like Black Dynamite and Dark Knight. Yeah. And there's also like a cachet of the Room stuff. I have like, they had a like little mini foam footballs, I guess, and like these green satchels as giveaways. Yeah, and there's also like this box of return, like they, I've returned like Tommy headshots and wallets and Blu-rays and DVDs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we'll have all that available.
Very cool.
So, yeah. Here's hoping that that's the end of it. That the Mayan and Chartiste and are safe, hopefully.
I can't wait to see there's an Alfred Hitchcock movie called Suspicion that Cary Grant's in. And that one's hardly ever played in theaters. I mean, I've never seen in theaters because, you know, the Cary Grant Hitchcock stuff that's always in theaters is North by Northwest or To Catch a Thief.
Yeah.
So I'll finally be able to see it at the Chartiste August 11th. I'll be able to see Suspicion.
You know what? So, you've convinced me. I want to go with you.
Sweet, man. You should see it. It's
we
a
should
great
go,
movie.
We should go support the Chartiste seeing that together.
Yeah, so make sure you say hi to us August 11th at 7 p.m. at the Chartiste. We'll be there.
Yeah. You can ask me where your fucking interview's at, too, because I'm pretty sure it won't be done by then.
Yeah, I mean, we have interviews that I'm sure people are like, didn't I sit down with these guys?
I thought these guys seemed like they were on the ball, but they're really like, you know, they say they watch movies, but I never see them post anything.
This week, we did see a movie. We saw Twisters. Brad, do you recommend Twisters?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of the movie I thought it was going to be. There wasn't like any sense of peril for me because everything felt, you know, CGI-y, but the characters are charming and it's fun. So it's a decent movie.
You know, this movie is more fun than I thought it was going to be. When I saw the trailers, I kept on thinking how corny it was going to be. And it was.
Yeah.
But in a charming way, you know, I can see how Glenn Powell is going to start being in a lot more movies. He kind of has that charisma about him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like really kind of cheesy and dorky, but it works. It had the definite vibe of a mid-90s summer blockbuster where there's special effects, the characters are really cheese dick, but there's a charm to it, if that makes sense. And so yeah, I had fun seeing it. It's probably the movie that has surprised me this summer that I've enjoyed more than I thought I was going to. Here's a trailer for Twisters.
A generation tornado outbreak continues across Oklahoma.
We've never seen tornadoes like this before, and we need your help.
No, I don't chase anymore.
Kate, we can save lives.
I'll give you 1 week.
All right, fellas. We got PhDs from NASA, FEMA, and Kate. She's the smartest person I know.
Hey, dudes. This is interesting. Who are they?
It's Tyler Owens. Calls himself Tornado Wrangler.
If you feel it,
Jason! I'm scared of nothing, and I'm scared to
You know, our crew is not like your crew.
I can't breathe and I catch my breath.
We don't need PhDs and fancy tech. Sometimes the old ways are better than the new.
Well, you can always trust a guy who puts his face on a t-shirt. Are those fireworks?
Yes, ma'am. You got quite the reputation, city girl. You think you can disrupt a tornado?
In theory. But in the field, in the moment, I got it wrong. We never had a chance.
You want one?
Are you seeing this?
We got twins! Twins!
They're combining. Go faster.
Let's ride. It's all right to be scared. Fear's the reason you do it. You don't face your fears, you ride them.
Holy.
You ever see anything like this?
Not like this.
Hold on.
So being a tornado twister is the coolest thing ever, Brad. I don't know if you know this.
A tornado chaser?
Yeah, or isn't that what those people are called?
You call it a tornado twister. I was like, what?
Oh, tornado chaser, yeah.
Yeah.
A tornado chaser is the coolest thing that you can be.
And they let you do that when you're in high school.
Yeah, and not only that, but you can finally see like all the cool tornadoes and just hang out with your friends. You don't have a care in the world.
It's totally safe.
Yeah.
Nothing bad could possibly happen.
Until a storm, which is surprisingly unpredictable, rains havoc on Kate and her friends that I don't even remember their names, and her boyfriend, who's this like really cool, sensitive guy, but he's also like ripped.
He's also jocked out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he's a scientist. So, you know, he has a heart of gold, basically. And so Kate is this really smart scientist, I guess. And she's trying to use some form of chemicals to absorb the moisture in a tornado to make it go away or stop. I don't know.
You know, it's like gel pellets that like you pour water on them and they expand. She's basically launching those into a tornado to suck all the moisture out of it and hopefully make it rain.
They got arrogant, Brad. That tornado turned right for them, killed all her friends except for her and the computer guy, Javi. And you know what? She gave up her dream of chasing tornadoes.
I mean, wouldn't you after you just, you know, got all your friends killed with your arrogance?
I mean, I would. And I'd be, you know... working for the National Weather Service, and there just happens to be a group touring of kids, and they talk about tornadoes and an EF5. So we know the difference between tornadoes. The exposition in this film is put in there as it's supposed to be natural, but it's not at all.
Speaking of things just happening, conveniently for this movie, there is a freak tornado like occurrence. Like there's so many happening back to back, so they don't have to wait very long.
Javi tracks Kate down, bro.
Yeah,
she's living in the city where there is no tornadoes, because remember, her boyfriend and friends died. So he tries to convince her to come back, because it's you're right, there's a once in a lifetime tornado event happening in Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's so many happening at the same time that like they can just, you know, they won't have any time off. They'll just be constantly chasing tornadoes. Exactly. No downtime.
So she's not going to do it, bro. She's not going to do it. But then she sees what happens to the people that are left in the tornado's wake. And she realizes that she can make a difference. And so she meets Javi, and he's part of Stormpar.
Stormpar, yep.
Hey, look at me remember. A movie I saw just a couple days ago. And so she does that. But while she's at a gas station with a bunch of people that thinking tornado chasing is cool, the real YouTube star shows up. You know, he's handsome. He's like the tornado wrangler. Is that his name, I think?
Yep. Tyler, the tornado wrangler.
That's right. He has t-shirts. If you can chase it, we can, I forget what the saying is, but like he's handsome, you know.
But here's the twist,
but Brad. What you don't, yeah.
The twister is
also really, he's really smart.
Yeah, he's actually a weather nerd.
Oh yeah. So Kellen, my son, just told me, because he loved this movie, if you can feel it, you can chase it, is what he says.
Yeah. Look at that marketing working on him.
Yeah, look, it worked. So now they're kind of, now there's this rivalry. And Tyler is reckless, dude.
Like, this guy will just drive his truck into the eye of a tornado. He doesn't care.
He will. And they have this snooty English guy who's writing a story about him.
Yep. Like, total, like, yeah, drive into a tornado and launch fireworks into it. Like, so.
Yeah, that's what he was doing.
That's and it. Not studying anything, just like entertaining a YouTube show.
Yeah. And you think he's the bad guy because he's selling shirts and all this other stuff to people. But Ryan, plot twist, Brad.
Go ahead.
You know, you can tell us a plot twist.
Another twist. The revenue from the shirts is going to the people affected by the twisters.
But wait, Brad, there's more.
Another twist?
Kate thinks she's just working on this cutting edge technology to alert people of tornadoes. No, dude. She's working for a developer who goes in and buys these people's land and builds brand new houses on them because they have nothing.
I don't understand how the developer is using the technology to do that. Like, I don't see why he can't just go in by himself without the technology and be like,
<I know.
laughs> hey, your house is done. I'll give you some money so you can rebuild your life as long as you get, I get your land. Like, I don't, what's the storm part of it supposed to do?
I don't know. And my favorite part too is like, he's a super cartoony villain. He has a cowboy hat and
the white suit. It's like Colonel Sanders looking dude.
Totally. And then Kate, she's so disillusioned after this huge tornado tears apart this rodeo. She goes home to her mom. And there we learn she had this idea since she was little. And she has a scale model of a tornado happening. And Tyler shows up and they, you know, they start realizing that maybe they like each other. And maybe they're not so different after all. And then I do love, I actually laughed when he came out in a white shirt and it was raining for no reason. Like, okay, I guess we're objectifying men now. That's awesome. Like, at least it wasn't a girl. And I was like, all right, hey, I'm on board. So yeah, and that's the story of twisters.
Yeah. And Tyler's got the technology and equipment that she didn't have her first time out with this plan. So together they can try to see if it works, but holy shit, like they solve tornadoes. So like, is this a real world application? Do we not have to worry about tornadoes anymore?
Well, bro, we thought she was going to die, but her little beads stopped an EF5 from ripping a town apart. So
yeah, I mean, in the real world, like this seems like a viable solution. Like, how are we not doing this?
I don't know.
Like, they solved it. They solved tornadoes. Like, just get the right moisture to bead ratio, and you know, we can save Oklahoma, man.
Yeah, one beautiful town in Oklahoma at a time.
Like, what if, you know, there's a week where, like, every 5 minutes there's a tornado, like in this movie. Like, they're flirting with disaster over there, man.
They really are.
This movie could save them.
You know, I will say this movie, I mentioned it before, it is actually pretty fun. I mean, besides all the silliness that, like I said earlier, it really reminds me of a mid-90s blockbuster.
Yeah, where, I haven't seen the original in a long time, so I don't really know how to compare it, but it felt like 90s blockbuster.
Yeah, where everybody has, you know, there's archetypes of all these characters, and, you know, it's the hero, Kate, where she has to find it in herself to, you know, get over her fear of tornadoes, and then there's the arrogant, cute, hot guy who there's more to him. He's just not good looking. He's really smart and he's doing it for a good cause. Which, you know, it's hokey, but for some reason it works. And, you know, you do lose some of the power when it is CGI. But I mean, it still looked, some parts literally looked impressive. I tried to see it in 4DX, but it was sold out for like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. I didn't think about that. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Rain and everything.
I know. I heard it's coming back, so I might have to go see it again. Just seeing 4DX. Because I planned this whole thing with my kid because he really wanted to see it in 4DX, but it's literally sold out because it was only 2 weeks at the pavilions before Deadpool Wolverine is coming. So
yeah, it's always a small window with those premium formats. Like there's just another blockbuster waiting in the wings to take it over.
So yeah, so I had fun with it. More fun than I thought I was going to. Honestly, I was getting ready to be bored for 2 hours.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be dumber. But it's not. It's just middle of the road. We also got a preview of Superman.
Yeah.
The Storm Parr, like, I don't know, henchman played by future Superman. Always has like a stick up his ass about something. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause his uncle is trying to fucking, you know, develop land. That was part of the thing that Javi didn't understand.
He's kind of like a Lex Luthor in this movie, really. Cause the really part is. Where Tyler's like, or not, Javi's like, we got to go back and save these people. He's like, what are you talking about? I don't care about these people. We just need the data.
Yep. Great. Cartoony villains.
Yep. And he's going to get 180 to helping save everybody. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun movie. That's all I got for Twisters, if you have anything else to add.
No, I think we covered it.
Sweet. Hey, I can't remember. Is Comic-Con this week or is it next week?
I think it's next week because it's the same week that Deadpool and Wolverine come out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So I wouldn't even know any of the news that's happening because we're recording this the week of Twisters.
No, I mean, you could make some predictions, see if they're right next week.
Yeah, you know, I'll just say that I'll say one. You know, because Fantastic Four is taking place in the 60s, I have a feeling it's going to be the first step for the MCU. So, I'm going to say that the subtitle for Fantastic Four is going to be First Step. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to see if I'm right.
Really random. I don't know if that looks good on a poster, but we'll see.
Well, like I said, this allegedly takes place in the 60s and they are the first family of Marvel. So I'm just pulling all of this out of my top of my head and I'm just going to put it out there and see what happens.
Does Marvel understand that the 60s were like 50 years ago? Almost 70 years ago? So,
yeah.
Those characters in the modern timeline are going to be super old.
So I have another prediction. Just because I don't know anything about what they're going to announce, but you know they're having problems with Kang. So, the multiverse saga is going to conclude in a battle world, which is secret in Secret Wars, where villains and heroes are brought to this planet to fight each other. And I think because they need a new big bad guy, I'm going to lean towards Doctor Doom. You know, he's one of the biggest villains in comic books. He is a key player in Secret War. I don't know what they're going to do with Kang Dynasty. I mean, I guess they could just keep it the Avengers 5 and we'll see what happens.
I always liked your guys' casting of Denzel Washington as Dr. Doom. So maybe that'll come to pass.
Yeah, it should. Yeah, it might work. We'll see. We only have a week to wait. Do you have any predictions, Brad?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I'm like nerd wise, all I'm waiting for is like a new Ninja Turtles movie to come out. So Let me think. MCU wise, like that's the only nerd stuff going on, really.
Yeah, because I don't think DC actually has a panel, do they? Oh no, they do.
Actually, you know what? I think, you know, with this whole new DCU that James Gunn's doing, I think they might like go into some rebranding. So maybe.
Oh, like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe DC gets like a new coat of paint or something. I'll go with that.
All right. I like that. We'll see if we're right next week. Until then, we'll tell everybody what we've been watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Let's see. Yeah, just a lot of old stuff. I did watch one new thing. The documentary about the creation of RoboCop called RoboDoc. It's like on Blu-ray or whatever as like a complete thing, but on Prime it's split into different episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really comprehensive. Obviously, former guest of the show Paul Salmon is interviewed on it, talking about a lot of the stuff that we cracked long before this doc ever came out. But yeah, it's you know, the way it starts, I was actually kind of like felt like it was going to start kind of shallow, mm-hmm. but it quickly got into the nitty gritty of things, and they really take you through every aspect of the, you know, lineage of the first RoboCop movie. The second and third ones are mentioned, but they don't really dive into it. But it's really about the first movie and how like it was just such an unlikely hit, and how hard it was to make. You know, Orion was having financial troubles, and I forget where the writers, they were on some other movie beforehand, and like it took like 5 or 6 years to get to this one, and then like hiring Paul Verhoeven, and like almost like a lot of the people who worked on it are in the documentary. So like there's interviews, like Paul Verhoeven's on there, all the gang that killed Alex Murphy, all those actors are in there. Peter Weller's in there. What's his name? Rob Bottin's in there. Top to bottom, like effects, costumes, like all those people are in this doc, and they, yeah, just do a great job of like going into different things. Like the first one is, you know, the first episode is like, you know, the writing and developing the story and hiring Verhoeven. And then the second one, they get into like, Peter Weller and then the villains and casting and all that. And then like the third episode, I think they get into like the special effects. And the fourth one, they talk about the release and, how like it was like a low budget and it, you know, played so long in 87. And made like over $100 million on like, I think like an $18 million budget or something. So yeah, it's really comprehensive and totally worth it. And so, yeah.
Yeah. You know, are the people honest in the documentary? That's what I always like, as long as it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. They talk about all the fights they had, you know, like obviously Verhoeven is just like this Dutch maniac. Who wants what he wants, and everyone else is like struggling to keep up with it. Like they talk about initially him and Peter Weller were like really butted heads because Weller didn't want to do it and had to be convinced to. And like there's this one point where like something didn't make sense, and you know, the evidence came back of, you know, how it looked on camera, and he's like, okay, I'm with you from here on out. And there's like there's this really weird part where they talk about like how Peter Weller like was such like a puss hound that like during breaks he would just like bang chicks in his trailer and then come back to set. I was like, it's a little off topic. But
wow.
Yeah, but they get that like intricate about it. Yeah, and then the writers, I think everyone clashed with Verhoeven, but like once they saw the footage and they're like, okay, like we see where he's going with this, and it's like it looks cool, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot, like there's a ton of issues with the suit, obviously, trying to make it work. And, you know, at one point they had it ready to go, and then Peter Weller showed up and it didn't fit. And then, like, it nearly, like, Orion almost had to step in and be like, we're shutting this down because Verhoeven was so upset about it.
Wow.
So, yeah. Great in-depth documentary worth checking out. What do you have?
You know, I only watched one film I haven't seen. It's part of my ongoing series of films I own that I haven't watched yet. And when Barnes & Noble does their 50% off Blu-ray sale, I will go and pick up old movies from there and give them a chance. And I got this one called History is Made at Night, which is from 1937. And sometimes I'll get it just for an actor or actress I like. Jean Arthur is in it, and she is great in this Cary Grant movie called The Talk of the Town. Charles Boyer is in it as well, and he's great in several films. And it's really about this American woman visiting Paris, and she falls in love with a Parisian, and he's, you know, charming, handsome. She's trying to get away from her husband, who is a extremely wealthy American tycoon. And so she goes to Paris for a divorce to get her divorce papers and stay there. The husband puts on this, pays one of his valets to attack her. So she has to go back to him, but it's broken up by a guy named Paul, and he takes her to a restaurant, and they kind of fall in love in the restaurant. And it turns out Paul is just the head waiter there, so he doesn't have the money that her husband has, soon to be ex-husband. But we learned that money isn't everything. And there's a sub story of, because Paul stops this robbery, and he punches the guy that the husband hired. When the dude who gets punched and knocked out comes to, the husband kills him and frames Paul for the murder. And it's just about how they eventually come together. And there's a scene, kind of, it's like a Titanic scene, where they're on a ship that's about to sink and if they'll be saved. Kind of cool special effects from the 30s. The Blu-ray is really cool. It's a Criterion, so they have some cool programs on it. The one I thought was the coolest is they show the restoration of the film and how they were able to put it together from all over the world, and how they found a 16 millimeter complete uncut version of the film in, I can't remember where, some foreign country, and they're able to splice it as well as they could into the Blu-ray. And they had the actual restoration department on there talk about it. So it's basically a commentary over specific scenes on how they cleaned this up and made it work. And it was really cool because they didn't want to clean it up too much, because then it would make the special effects from 1937 not look as good. So it was the movie's really good. The Blu-ray is really good. I recommend everybody, if you like old romantic disaster films, to check it out. And it's called History is Made at Night. Next week, we're seeing Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. I know, I'm excited.
It's like the last exciting thing I have on my slate for summer, that it's finally here.
Agreed. And it's so long. You know, usually Marvel movies don't take this long to happen in the summer. So yeah, until next week, we'll see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, @RealNerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it.